Ancient World, Ancient Nukes, Chapter 6, Mesopotamia, The Ancient Cradle of Atomic Fertility. The scene opens with soft, distant echoes, whispers of ancient voices, and a hum that feels both ancient and new, as if history itself is speaking. Through the ages, mankind has sought to rise above the limitations of flesh, to tap into forces beyond nature and the divine. In Eden, Adam stood transfixed before the burning bush, fire that consumed nothing, igniting a hunger in him to know and to wield the knowledge of gods. But with that desire came the danger of transcendence without wisdom. The crackling of fire fades, replaced by the distant rumble of civilization, and the scene moves to ancient Egypt. In Egypt, beneath the towering pyramids, pharaohs sought the hidden knowledge of a forgotten world, Atlantis. They believed that within these secrets lay the key to eternal power and unknown reign, but the weight of such knowledge always comes at a price. The sound of footsteps echo through stone chambers, the scene shifting to ancient Israel, where King David and his son Solomon stand in quiet opposition. In that kingdom, a father and son face the ultimate dilemma. David, the warrior king, sees the Ark of the Covenant as not just a relic, but a weapon, one that could crush his enemies. But his son Solomon, understanding the dangers of wielding such a force, cautions restraint. What lay within the Ark was not just sacred texts, but the power of creation and destruction itself, the very essence of the divine. Meanwhile, in another ancient civilization, the ancient Greek-speaking world, Socrates and Plato explore the dangers of unrestrained knowledge. While soldiers seek powerful weapons, Socrates questions whether such power can be controlled, and Plato, drawing on his concept of ideal forms, argues that true strength comes from the wisdom and yet the restraint. Their debates reveal that knowledge without caution can lead to destruction, and that sometimes the wisest course is not to use the power at all. And now, in the present day, the faceless, nameless archaeologist who begins the journey and the research stands with his scholars on the threshold of discovery, piecing together the shattered remnants of these civilizations. Through their observations and research, they unknowingly interact with something far greater, the new sphere, the collective consciousness of all human thought and knowledge. Footsteps echo as the faceless archaeologist leads a group of scholars toward a Mesopotamian site. The archaeologist, quiet and thoughtful, says, "The more we look, the more we entangle ourselves with what came before. Could it be that by observing these fragments, we are altering the very fabric of time?" The wind howls softly as they step into the heart of Mesopotamian ruins. And so, with each discovery and with each question, the scholars find themselves drawn deeper into a web of entangled histories. Across time, across civilizations, and Mesopotamia, the cradle of civilization beckons. And here is where the scholars will come face to face with forces they can scarcely comprehend. The seekers come across a ziggurat. There is the sounds of wind sweeping across an open desert, the crackling of sand underfoot, the faint hum of distant traffic merging with the echoes of ancient whispers. The scene transitions into the muted voices of scholars discussing the various issues in hushed tones. They are in Mesopotamia, where the first hopes of civilization realized its full potential. The ziggurat, a terraced pyramid with stacked platforms made of mud brick, a staircase leading to a small temple at the top. There is the sound of footsteps approaching. The scholars stand before an ancient Mesopotamian artifact, studying it carefully. The faceless, nameless archaeologist, calm and reflective, says, thousands of years ago, this land was teeming with life. The Sumerians, the Akkadians, they were the architects of civilization. The nameless, faceless archaeologist says, but what secrets have we overlooked and what has the world overlooked? What is hidden in their writings in the ruins of Babylon and Mesopotamia? Another scholar picks up a piece of broken pottery, turning it around in their hands, and says this pottery fragment is dated thousands of years ago, yet the symbols, they feel out of place. What are we missing here? And a second scholar, thoughtful, says, perhaps we're seeing only what we expect to see. Mesopotamia is the first civilization we know of, but maybe it's not the first to have known. This could be evidence of something far more advanced. There was the sound of flipping through ancient tables and murmured voices blending with the wind as if the past is reaching through time. The Fertile Crescent, the heart of humanity's origins, it was here that written language began, along with law and architecture. But have the scholars truly uncovered the full depth of their knowledge, or are there remnants of something far more ancient buried in the sands of time? And the nameless archaeologist asks quietly to himself, if this is the cradle of civilization, then what rocked the cradle? Silence lingers as the faint echoes of ancient voices and modern minds intertwine. In a land where the Tigris and Euphrates carves a path through history lies Mesopotamia. It is here amidst the soaring ziggurats and ancient temples that a great discovery is made, one that could change the fate of the world. There is a sound of footsteps echoing inside the hollow chambers of the ziggurat as a group of scholars descends deeper into the structure. One scholar points out, look at these carvings. They speak of an ancient force, one tied to the earth itself. Could it be that the ziggurats were not just places of worship, but something more? And a second scholar, curious, says, look at these carvings. They suggest the ziggurats were used to harness energy, but what kind of energy and for what purpose? Deep within the ziggurat, the scholars discover clues to a forgotten power, one that is tied to the earth and the skies, and it is said that the ziggurats were not merely temples, but ancient energy sources capable of harnessing forces beyond human understanding. They study inscriptions on the wall, which seem to indicate that there was swirls of energy in the air. One scholar says the symbols seem to relate to fire from the sky, but not just any fire, a fire that was something far more advanced and powerful. And a second scholar says the fire is actually from the stars, similar to what was described at Sodom and Gomorrah, a destructive force beyond comprehension. One of the scholars stares into the distance, their breath catching. A vision flashes before them, a city engulfed in fire, raining down from the sky, an advanced primal force that obliterates everything. And the scholar says, dazed, I saw it, the fire. It wasn't natural, it was power from the heavens, a force like nothing we've seen before. The others exchange uneasy glances, sensing that something far greater than their research is at play. And the nameless archaeologist says, this is no ordinary chamber. What lies here is something far older than Mesopotamia. Perhaps it predates even the earliest of our civilizations. In the heart of the ziggurat, Mesopotamia's greatest secret is uncovered, an ancient power source, one that has remained hidden for centuries. But in unlocking this secret, they may awaken forces beyond their control. The researchers all feel a shift, and within the sacred halls of Mesopotamia, the building is again young, and the high priests that are present are from a different era, speaking of legend of ancient beings who walked the earth ages ago. The Watcher Angels sent to observe mankind, and the Nephilim, their children, born of unnatural unions and touched by a power that corrupted both man and angel alike. There is a sound of scrolls being unfurled, the crackle of fire casting shadows on the stone walls. And the high priest from the ancient past says, "The Watchers were not meant to interfere with mankind, and yet they did. And their offspring, the Nephilim, were giants, born with knowledge and power, not meant for humans. The Nephilim were both a blasphemy and brought forbidden knowledge to mankind," the ancient priest says. A modern scholar watching this says rhetorically, although he can't be heard, "These Nephilim were destroyed, scattered by the great flood, their legacy buried beneath the sands. But the knowledge they shared remains. The power they wielded, it lingers still, hidden in places like this." The scholars listen intently, their curiosity piqued. The hum of ancient power seems to grow stronger around them. And another scholar asks, "Could it be that the power we are uncovering here in Mesopotamia is linked to the Nephilim? Are we awakening the same forces that brought about their downfall?" The priests from one era and the scholars from another, the modern day, are somehow entangled. And the thinkers from both eras are forced to grapple with the reality that the Nephilim, born of forbidden knowledge, left behind secrets that now may threaten to resurface. Ancient Mesopotamia acts on its newly acquired knowledge as a group of their envoys approach an Egyptian camp. The distant call of camels and the flapping of tent canvas fills the air. As the Mesopotamian scholars unravel the mysteries of the ziggurats, they realize that they are not alone in their pursuit of ancient power. In secret, they form an alliance with Egypt, with the pharaoh who built the pyramid and who discovered the Atlantean secrets in a special chamber. Together, they seek to unlock the secrets of the past, even if it means risking their own destruction. A Mesopotamian envoy, speaking in hushed tones with an Egyptian representative, says, "The power we have uncovered in our ziggurats is beyond anything we've ever seen before, but we cannot unlock its full potential alone. Your pharaoh has spoken of similar discoveries in Egypt. Perhaps together we can unravel the mysteries of this ancient technology and rule the world jointly." And the Egyptian representative says, "Our pharaoh is ambitious as we are. If we are to share knowledge, it must be in strict secrecy. There are those in both of our lands who would oppose such discoveries." The sound of a papyrus scroll being unrolled reveals ancient blueprints. The Mesopotamian envoy says, "We have discovered enough to know that the ziggurats, like your pyramids, were designed to harness energy. But to what end? And if we work together, we may be able to unlock the true purpose of these structures." The Egyptian representative is tentative. "And what if the power that we uncover collectively is too great to control? Are we not tampering with forces we barely understand?" And the Mesopotamian envoy, undeterred, said, "If we do not unlock this power, someone else will. So we must act before it is too late." In the darkened desert, a pact is made. Mesopotamia and Egypt, ancient rivals, now join forces in a dangerous pursuit of power. But as their alliance deepens, so does the risk that they may be unleashing something far more destructive than they could ever imagine. And worse yet, history's first arms race is underway. The scene closes with the sound of the desert wind and the crackle of flames as the two envoys stare at the ancient blueprints, the weight of their decisions hanging heavily on their shoulders. The Mesopotamian priests and wise men, normally cautious of their Egyptian rivals, find themselves uncharacteristically driven to seek Egypt's assistance in perfecting their atomic programs and defenses. As they forge ahead, many begin to question the unusual urgency of this alliance. Is it really about securing their civilization, or are they responding to the drumbeat of an unknown, unseen force guiding their actions?